spot. Within, oh, within 5 to 10 meters
heart rate
of the touchdown
spot. Heart rates averaging between 90 and 100. Flight surgeon reports they're right on the predicted number of the BTU units expended in energy of work.
Flight surgeons have learned
a lot. And he thinks they're in great shape.
Flight surgeons have learned very much.
The area, the contrast in general is comes about completely by virtue of the shadows. Almost deep.
Both astronauts out of view of the camera now.
Still phase. Very light colored gray. Light gray colored. The halo around my own shadow, around the shadow of my helmet. Then as I look off cross sun, the contrast becomes strongest in that the surrounding color is still fairly light. As you look down into the sun, a larger amount of shadowed areas looking toward us.
It's all
general color of the surrounding.
Its transmission continuing to cut out. It's a bit hard to understand what he's trying to say to us.
Surveying the all the dusty area that we've picked up, considerably darker in texture now.
Aldrin is describing the area which has been kicked up by the lunar module on landing.
The same is true. I survey cross sun along the area that we're walking. General, this is to the fact that there are footprints there. General terrain where I've been kicked up out of this surface.
That was Aldrin describing the surface and parts of it of a darker color. He's gone out of the view of the camera off to the east. We cannot describe how far away he may be at this moment. Armstrong is continuing to move about in the vicinity, farther and farther away each time, to find interesting rocks or pieces of material to put in the bulk sample container. This being the most important, this and the contingency sample being the most important parts of the return to Earth part of this experiment, the pieces of the moon to be brought back for scientists to analyze. I'm sure all of those scientists are very anxiously and with great interest watching each of these rocks being picked up, some of them fairly close to the limb itself. And it's anticipated some of these may.
You can see Neil Armstrong bringing scoop.
The ram I'll be taking is about 30 to 40 feet out to plus. But.
Aldrin.
Again, which strut, please,
so it would be.
Again, which strut, which?
The plus V strut.
Roger.
Right in this area, there are two craters. The one that's right in front of me now as I look off and about the. 11 o'clock position from spacecraft, about 30 to 35 feet across, and several rocks to boulders, 6-8 inches across, varying sizes.
The lunar module, very clearly in view, a very low sun angle shining on it. Buzz Aldrin is out in front of that leg with the ladder on it.
Neil is filling the bulk sample bag attached to a scale. You can see him in the picture.
This is a...
Buzz is behind the limb at the minus Z strut.
I believe the plus Z strut. That's off to the east. Or directly ahead in the path of landing.
That's the landing gear directly opposite the ladder.
Well, we'll see from which direction he returns. He's either ahead or behind the limb in its direction of flight to touchdown. I thought he said the plus Z axis. Jack Riley reported the minus. This is toward the sun or toward the east. Toward the sun to the west or toward the shadow to the east. He's out of the range of the picture, however. Neil Armstrong is working around this Teflon bag in the rock box. There were some early plans for this whole bulk sample to be carefully weighed on a scale, a bag hanging on a spring
Neil's
scale.
Neil's been on the surface about an hour and 10 minutes now.
And then later it was decided that they didn't have to weigh it meticulously and know the exact weight they were bringing back, that there was an adequate weight allowance on the lunar module and on the command module for as much as they could bring and stuff into a rock box to be brought back to the Earth, up to 100 pounds, as a matter of fact, some up to some 45 kilograms. Yes, here comes...
Area, the minus Y strut.
Here comes Buzz back into view. He did come from the east, from the plus Z axis. He's in the area now, moving toward the area of the minus Y strut. That means toward the south strut, as they are sitting on the surface of the moon. Taking some pictures, we can see him now very clearly lighted by the sun, that bright
Buzz is making
space
his way around the limb, photographing it from various angles, looking at its condition on all sides.
We can see Neil Armstrong in the shadows there at the scale and or rock box. The small table, which is a portable
Neil's
device.
Neil's still occupied with the bulk sample.
He must have filled a bag by now and be trying to close it up, or possibly even closing the rock box itself. The SRC, one of two sample return containers. After this, and in descending order of importance as this lunar surface period goes on.
1 hour and 40 minutes time expended on the PLSSs now.
Next would come the gathering of documented samples. Neil and Buzz together would work on picking up specific types of samples, recording where they were.
Sample is just being sealed.
Is being sealed. He's sealing the rock box. Let's see. Let me check and confirm how the timeline of events is going. 1 hour and 40 minutes into this extravehicular activity. Now, Buzz Aldrin is catching up with some of the picture taking, which is scheduled. However, the sealing of that first rock box is considerably behind schedule, but that's okay. They're not worried about that sort of thing at this point. In fact, that would be this first rock box was originally scheduled to be sealed up 1 hour and 10 minutes after the EVA began. That was 30 minutes ago. This camera next to come would be more picture taking. Transfers
of
the camera.
This is Houston. Go ahead, over.
A call
Roger,
from
no
Houston.
Marks on the limb that time. I did see a suspiciously small white object forward in its turn.
Mike Collins thinks he sees the limb. As he goes
overhead.
Go ahead
with the coordinates on the small white object.
EZ.3, 7.6. But I'm not sure it's him, and it's right on the southwest rim of a crater. I think they would know it if they were in such a location. It looks like their lamp would be pitched up quite a degree. It's on the southwest wall of a smallish crater.
Mike
Roger,
says that...
copy, echo decimal 3 and 7 decimal 6.
Mike Collins says he sees a small, bright, white object. It looks suspiciously like the LEM, but it's on the side of a small crater, pitched up slightly at an angle, and he thinks that the lunar pilots there, Aldrin
and
Armstrong,
Columbia,
would know that.
This is Houston, while I'm talking to you, LOS will be at 111 19er 31. AOS 112 0543. Over.
That information from Houston going up to Mike Collins in the command module going overhead. Mike apparently right over this area. He's tried during the past three revolutions to spot
them.
Houston,
did you copy LOS? AOS times, over.
In fact, he spent several hours during each pass trying to spot the LEM.
Houston, you're broken. Disregard him. I get him off the flight plan.
Roger, out.
It's a bit difficult to spot either of the astronauts there in the picture. Buzz Aldrin is apparently in the shadow next to the ladder at this point. Neil Armstrong is still working on sealing up that first rock box. He just backed up a step, and we can see the sun shining on part of his spacesuit. Buzz is taking pictures of this. He's taking pictures of Neil as he works on sealing that rock box, using the 70-millimeter still camera.
The boss deflector that's mounted on quad one seems a good bit more wrinkled right now on quad four.
You're breaking up again, Buzz.
Breaking up again, Buzz.
I say the jet deflector that mounted on quad four seems to be, the surface of it seems to be more wrinkled than the one that's on quad one.
This is a deflector.
The underneath part of the LEM seems to have stood up quite well to the, look at some pictures in the aft part of the LEM that illuminate the thermal effects much better than we could get them up here in the front.
Roger.
Buzz reports that one of these
deflectors...
Want to get some
particular photographs of the bulk sample area, Neil?
There are some small metal deflectors mounted beneath the RCS thrusters on the ascent stage of the lunar module, and on quad four, side number four of the lunar module, he said that this appears to be much more wrinkled, this deflector.
And Houston, Buzz here, I'm showing 3.78 SI.
Aldrin reporting the condition of his portable life support system. This deflector on quad four appearing more wrinkled than one of the deflectors on side or quad number one.
Roger, and Neil has 66% O2, no flags, minimum cooling, and the suit pressure is 382.
That's Armstrong giving us
Houston,
the reading.
Roger.
Armstrong giving us the reading on his portable life support system, the status of that oxygen and environmental control as he looks down into the RCU, the remote control unit, mounted on the chest of his flight suit.
Neil has finished collecting and packing the bulk sample.
Buzz, this is Houston. Have you removed the close-up camera from the Mesa yet? Over.
Question from the Earth, have you removed the close-up camera?
Thank you.
Which he has not, apparently, yet. The solar wind deflect experiment still soaking in the sunshine there. That's to be rolled up and brought back. This close-up camera, about which you heard the query from the Earth, is a camera mounted inside a tube, has its own flash unit, and when an interesting rock or particle is seen on the surface, this tube is placed over it, and the picture is snapped. There are several hundred frames in the camera, and these will be brought back for analysis of the lunar surface, details of interesting features. One of the astronauts is moving away again. I think Neil has a camera.
Houston, that is our time line. Appear to be going.
Well, Roger, it looks like you're about a half hour slow on it. We're working on consumables, over.
Confirmation from the ground, from Earth, that they are about a half hour behind schedule on the events being pursued. We see both astronauts there on the north side of the lunar module. I believe Buzz now has that camera. It looks as though he is exposing it over some of the interesting features.
Neil and Buzz, this is Houston. To clarify my last, your consumables are in good shape at this time. The 30-minute reference was with respect to the nominal timeline, over.
Aldrin does indeed
Roger, I understand that.
Have the close-up camera and is now using it. A report from the Earth on the use of consumables, the oxygen specifically. Let's see, I believe that's Aldrin with that close-up camera. I've lost track of Neil Armstrong now. Either he's in a shadow or out of the picture. Continuing to come in from the surface of the moon. This black and white camera mounted on a tripod some 20 to 25 meters away from the lunar module. In the picture we can see the hull of the lunar craft as it stands there in the deep sunlight, or very low sunlight, great shadows stretching several hundred feet, or about 100 meters, I would say, out to the east of the landing spot. From some of the earlier pictures that Neil Armstrong gave us as he scanned the panorama of the lunar view, we get a distinct impression of a very, very low sun angle. This was needed for a safe touchdown so that all of the very subtle features of the surface would show up to the crew. As they
Neil's been on the surface now slightly over an hour and 20 minutes.
Armstrong out an hour and 20 minutes. We have had 1 hour and 50 minutes since the beginning of this.
Don't note any abnormalities in the limb. Quads seem to be in good shape. The primary and secondary struts are in good shape. Antennas are all in place. There's no evidence of problem underneath the limb due to either the engine exhaust or drainage of any kind.
That's Neil Armstrong reporting the condition of the lunar module.
Roger up. It's very surprising, the very surprising lack of penetration of all four of the foot pads. I'd say if we were to try and determine just how far below the surface they would have penetrated, you measure for 3 inches, wouldn't you say, Neil?
At the most, yeah. That fly strut there is probably even less than that.
The foot pads penetrated no more than 2 or 3 inches into the surface on touchdown, according to the astronauts. I believe both Buzz and Neil are out of touch. Out of sight, out of TV range. That last transmission sounded like some comment from Mike Collins.
That's why strut taken from near the defense stage, and I think we'll be able to see a little bit better what the couple effects are.
Aldrin is taking a picture of the
seems to be quite minimal
strut on the north side of the limb. And the amount that this foot pad is sinking into the surface, he says it seems to be quite minimal. Using the 70 millimeter Hasselblad camera with color film in it, he earlier described the material which is coated. He described the material.
Right rear of the spacecraft, looking at the skirts of the descent stage. So a slight darkening of the surface color, a rather minimal amount of radiating or etching away or erosion of the surface. And now on descent, both of us remarked that we could see a large amount of very fine dust particles moving out.
Aldrin describing more of that surface detail there near
the. It was reported beforehand that we would probably see an outgassing from the surface after actual engine shutdown, but I recall I was unable to verify that.
This is one of the predictions about a reaction of the surface material after touchdown, which did not seem to come to pass. It was assumed that when the descent engine fired into the surface, it would compress some of the material in the lunar surface and cause dust and smoke or outgassing of some of the surface material under the engine after the engine was shut down on touchdown. Buzz said this did not appear to be the case. The only material disturbed then would have been rocks and dust thrown off in all directions in sort of a ballistic trajectory, there being no atmosphere on the surface, on the moon. This material would just go out, go several meters and maybe even several kilometers and fall down.
I think you're right.
Buzz talking to Neil Armstrong, both of them out of the picture to the left or to the west-northwest of the touchdown spot of the lunar module as it sits there, very stark in the low sunlight. The astronauts continuing to take pictures, still pictures. Neil Armstrong has sealed up the first of the rock boxes, the first of the sample return containers with what is called a bulk sample. This may well be up to about 50 pounds of material. Some 22, 23 kilograms of material per box. They're allowed to stuff as much as they can in each box because there seems to be an extra weight allowance. More weight can be brought back than earlier anticipated.
We're back at the minus Z spot now.
Back in the direction from whence they came.
That will take very little force of impact that we actually had.
Minus Z to the rear, back to the west. We can see Aldrin now. It looks as though he's almost standing on one of the foot pads, the foot pad to the rear.
And Neil, if you'll take the camera, I'll to work on the SEQ bay.
Right. Columbia, this is Houston.
I noticed that.
Call from the Earth to Columbia in lunar orbit.
Can I get some closer pictures of that rock?
27 minutes until Mike Collins goes out of range again.
I was saying that Houston stop and take a photograph of something and then want to start moving again sideways. Quite a tendency to start doing it with just gradual sideways hops because you start getting kind of.
That report again from Bud Aldrin on moving sideways. I thought.
Can you see us underneath the lamb over at the SEQ bay, Houston?
Yes, indeed, Buzz. We can see your feet sticking out underneath the structure of the LEM descent stage.
Okay, I'm just on the other side of the...
And now we can see you through the structure of the minus Z secondary strut.
They're working around one of the struts now.
The SEQ bay contains the scientific experiments to be left on the surface of the moon. The laser reflector.
They're open, and it looks like they're going to stay up without any problem.
Columbia, Columbia, this is Houston. We're about to lose you on the Omnis. Request high gain antenna, REAC mode. Pitch 20, yaw 135, over.
The astronauts on the side of the lunar module.
Make that yaw 175, Columbia, yaw 175 on the high gain.
They're moving around to quad one, as it is called, on the lunar module.
Locked up on the high gain, Houston.
Roger out.
That's Mike Collins in Columbia. It's been called to my attention that I've been giving directions in exactly the opposite manner here. I'm actually the astronaut.
The surgeon says everything looks fine.
Actually, the direction of motion as we view it from the Earth would be toward the west. I've been saying east. My apologies for that. The sun is coming from the east, as we view it from the Earth here.
An hour and a half of lunar surface time for Neil Armstrong.
The camera is actually to the north of the lunar module, pointed in a southerly direction. We can see sunlight coming from the left. This, of course, would be from an eastern direction, not west, as I had previously said. The directions on the directions here on the moon are actually reversed from those that we would anticipate here on Earth.
They've been on the portable life support systems for 2 hours now.
They have a 4-hour limit in these portable life support systems. And want to keep any extravehicular activity well within those boundaries. This total EVA time is scheduled to be 2 hours
and 40
minutes.
And the manual deployment of the LR cubed little spring that's at the end of the string pulled off of the pit fin. However, I was able to reach up and get hold of the pit fin and pull it loose. So it'll be deployed manually also.
Roger.
They're opening up the package on the lunar module that holds the ESAP package, the early Apollo experiment.
And the panorama
package
is complete. And,
this is
LEM, at the LEM 730 position at about 60 feet.
That was Neil Armstrong. He is opening up the area containing the... We can see him removing some of the equipment concerned with the laser reflector and with the passive seismic detector, which is to be left there.
That's
on
Neil
the
Neil Armstrong to the left of the screen. By that.
Doors are closed and locked.
Roger.
They're now taking
out.
Is that
a good area you picked out? Well, I think right out on that rise out there is probably as good as any.
looking under the limb, we can see their feet as they're moving around on that
stay
side.
Stay on the high ground there and...
Watch at the edge of that crater is
rather soft. Yeah, that's
soft.
Real soft there, isn't it?
A couple of close-ups on these quite rounded, large boulders.
One of the astronauts is taking one of these bulky experiments.
Buzz Aldrin coming into view on the right, carrying the two experiments.
Buzz is carrying the packages then.
About 40 feet out, I'd say out to the end of that next...
Now it's going to be a little difficult to find a good level spot here.
Top of that next little ridge there, wouldn't that be a pretty good place?
Buzz says it'll be difficult to find a good level spot here, and Neil suggests on top of that next little ridge.
The, LRQ about here.
All right.
Neil, following along.
I'm going to have to get on the other side of this rock here.
I believe
I
Neil...
Would go right around that crater to the left there. Isn't that a level spot there?
I think this right here is just as level.
Searching for a good spot upon which to deposit the experiments package, the laser reflector, and the passive seismometer.
And they will be out of the camera's field of view while setting up these experiments.
Again, let me correct myself there. Moving off to the right is moving toward the west as we would look at the moon from here on Earth. Buzz Aldrin is already out of the camera field of view.
The boulders look like basalt, and they have probably 2% white minerals in them, white crystals. And the thing that I reported as vesicular before, I don't believe I believe that anymore. I think it's small craters. They look like little impact craters where BB shot has hit the surface.
Small impact craters where BB shot and small particles have hit and created craters. Both astronauts are out of view on the right or in a westerly direction of our television view. The camera is north of the limb, pointed south. You're listening to this communication coming from the surface of the moon back through Mission Control in Houston over the Voice of America. This is Rhett Turner in Houston following along with the activities of the astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin as they move about following through this 2-hour, 40-minute timeline scheduled for their activities on the surface of the moon. So far, everything is performing perfectly. The portable life support systems, the backpacks, are well within tolerances. The oxygen and pressurization is maintaining a proper flow. And both men are working very efficiently and carefully, we might add, on the surface of the moon. They have now moved off to the right, or to the east, to the west of the lunar module, setting up the early
the,
experiments package.
The
That's all
experiment flipped over now, and I'm aligning it with the sun. I'm having a little bit of difficulty getting the beep go in the center. It wants to move around and around on the outside. Find any spot, any hole.
That's Aldrin describing...
You're cutting out again, Buzz.
...the passive seismometer, which he is actuating. This is quite a device. You pull one lanyard after taking some safety devices off, and it pops out almost like an octopus.
I'm not having too much success in leveling the PSE experiment.
They're trying to level the passive seismometer. They're out of view We're just listening for any communication which the astronauts send us. This seismometer must be leveled, and so must that laser reflector, as a matter of fact, for it to be pointed properly back at the Earth. This is a mirror-like device, which, when set up upon the surface of the moon and aimed properly back at Earth, can be used for targeting by very accurate laser beams on Earth. Many good things can be done with this. Scientists are ecstatic over the possibilities of very accurate ranging down to within 15 to 17 centimeters by use of lasers from the Earth to the moon. By any nation in the world can use the laser device and point
the reflector is
that's Armstrong
installed, and the bubble's level, and the alignment appears to be good.
The alignment on the laser reflector.
Yeah, Houston, Roger out.
The alignment on the laser reflector appears to be good. The bubble
has been
set.
Take a look at this BB, see what you make out of it.
I found it pretty hard to get perfectly level, too.
That baby likes the outside. It won't go on the inside.
The level likes the outside. It won't go on the inside, says Buzz Aldrin.
That little cup is convex now instead of concave. I
think you're right.
Believe it is.
Houston, I don't think there's any hope for using this leveling device to come up with an accurate level. It looks to me as though the cup here that the BB is in is now convex instead of concave. Over.
Roger, 11. Press on. If you think it looks level by eyeball, go ahead.
Difficult.
Okay.
In other words, the small BB, as they call it, or bead, is rolling to the outside. That would mean that
the bubble they're discussing is on a leveling device on the passive seismometer.
Now, this seismometer is to stay there on the surface of the moon, and it has some power inside, and it has a small atomic device to keep it heated, and once it's actuated and transmitting properly, we can actually see small waveforms back on Earth of the astronauts walking around on the surface of the moon. This is a miniaturized earthquake detector that's extremely sensitive.
Good work. Good show. Hey, whoa, stop. Back up.
They think they have it.
Houston, the that was facing the PSV, the right-hand solar array deployed automatically. The left-hand, I had to manually training bar at the far end.
Several of these
and all parts of the solar array are clear of the ground now.
This has
this is Houston. Understand, you did successfully deploy both solar arrays. Over.
These are solar cells to take the sun's energy, convert it to electricity. Both solar arrays have been deployed.
And there isn't any way of telling whether that's lined up. Not getting in the way. Maybe I can get down here.
We can see one of the astronauts bounding back into view, kicking up some dust as he comes into range.
Now that appears to be pointing.
And there. This is a truly unusual sight, to see these astronauts moving around on the surface, sort of bouncing into the air, coming back down onto the surface. It takes a couple of steps to break oneself to a stop, they have discovered, and have reported that to us. Buzz Aldrin has spent quite a bit of time evaluating
maneuverability.
Neil,
this is Houston, over. Neil, this is Houston, over.
Houston.
Roger, we've been looking at your consumables, and you're in good shape. Subject to your concurrence, we'd like to extend the duration of the EVA 15 minutes from nominal. We will still give Buzz a hack at 10 minutes prior for heading in. Your current elapsed time is 2 plus 12. Over.
Go ahead for a longer duration.
Okay, that sounds fine.
Roger out.
Neil says, okay, that's fine. 15 minutes longer than expected. They will be allowed to stay on the moon because the consumables, the operation of the portable life support system, appears to be operating very, very well. Everything going well. In fact,
212 is the time expended on the PLSS.
This is Houston. If you're still in the vicinity of the PSE, could you get a photograph of the ball level? Over.
I'll do that, but... Right, we'll get a photograph of that.
Want to take a picture of that
Houston,
level.
What time would you estimate we could allow for the documented sample, over?
Request from Buzz Aldrin for some information on the documented sample gathering. How long they should spend doing that. This,
Oh, shoot. I believe the ball is right in the middle now.
Wonderful. Take a picture before it moves.
Would you believe the ball is right in the middle now? The level worked.
Neil, this is Houston. We're estimating about 10 minutes for the documented sampling. Over.
About 10 minutes to be utilized during the documented sampling. The gathering of samples and to be carefully documented and described and labeled in separate little bags.
Columbia, Columbia, this is Houston, over.
Columbia, this is Houston, over.
A call to Mike
Columbia.
Roger, I'd like you to terminate charging battery Bravo at 111 plus 15, over.
That instruction to Mike Collins, going over.
How about right now?
Roger.
8 minutes from now, Collins will again disappear behind the moon. He's been quietly listening to all of this activity. There comes Armstrong, loping back into the picture. He's using the small running steps, and he's probably remaining just off the surface and digging his toes in to propel him along.
This is Houston. You've got about 10 minutes left now prior to commencing your EVA termination activities. Over.
Actually running. Actually running on the surface. That would have been Neil Armstrong.
Doctor, I understand.
I believe Buzz Aldrin is back at the mesa. The table where the sample return containers are located. The man with the camera, and I believe that was Neil, who took a picture of the seismic detector, ran right around to the south side of the lunar module, coming into view on the right side of the screen. He disappeared behind the limb, and we could see him almost running right off to the left. In the very light gravitational pull of the moon, it appeared that he was more or less floating an inch or two in the up into space off the surface, digging his toes in to propel himself along. That must be a truly unusual experience, and they've certainly adapted to it quickly. Chris Kraft.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. The Apache seismic experiment has been uncaged, and we're observing short period oscillations in it. Over.
The passive seismometer is working. They're reading it here on Earth. Chris Kraft expects these astronauts to become so well acclimated with maneuvering around on the surface that in his optimism, he said, by the time they get back in, they'll practically take one leap off the surface and land on the front porch. I think that was a little over-optimistic, but
Neil Armstrong
sure
has been on the surface now about an hour and 50 minutes.
The temperature here on the surface varies from some plus 250 degrees in the sun on the shady side to some minus 200 to 250 degrees Fahrenheit. Very, very hot where the sun strikes you, very, very cold where it doesn't. That's the main reason for these very, very bulky spacesuits, that and also for radiation protection. And the astronauts have been keeping their use of consumables, the oxygen and pressure-serving devices in the portable life support system, well within tolerances, and have been allowed to extend their stay on the lunar surface an extra 15 minutes. They were due to come back inside 23 minutes from now. They've been given the go-ahead to extend that for a longer period of time. Buzz Aldrin, of course, has to go in first in order to bring in these samples to be passed up by Neil Armstrong. We can see one of the men now coming around to the north toward the television camera near the point where he has deployed the solar wind experiment. Goodness, I'm trying to determine what in the world he's doing with this gadget he's holding there. I don't know if this is going to be the high-gain antenna device, if he's going to deploy the high-gain antenna or not.
In the foreground,
driving,
the
core sampler.
A core tube sample.
He's driving a core tube into the surface using this mallet device.
I hope you're watching how hard I have to hit this into the ground to the tune of about 5 inches, Houston.
That is Buzz Aldrin.
Roger.
This core tube is a narrow tube, just about 5 to 8 centimeters wide, which is driven into the ground.
It looks wet.
It looks wet, he reports. Below the surface, it looks as though the material is wet. This tube will be sealed. This tube will be sealed, put in one of the rock boxes, and brought back. Then the scientists on Earth.
Wait a minute. Yeah, cut the cable again. Neil and Buzz, this is Houston. We'd like you to
hear right. This is Houston. Thank you. Not clear? Not quite.
Neil, this is Houston. We'd like you all to get two core tubes and the solar wind experiment. Two core tubes and the solar wind, over.
Roger.
Another core tube must be driven into the surface. When Buzz first took out that core tube, and I believe he uses the back of the scoop to hammer it in, he has to hammer fairly hard.
Core tubes provide material.
Get the next one. Maybe you can turn away the box a little bit.
He had to hammer quite hard to get it down into the surface, only about 5 or 6 inches.
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
Mission Control was reminding the astronauts to get two core tube samplers and the solar wind experiment. This is a reminder to them. These are to be stowed inside the rock boxes for analysis upon return. That was more or less a reminder. Don't forget these things, fellas. Both astronauts working in the vicinity of the Mesa, the modular equipment storage assembly, that's where all the tools are located they're using for gathering samples of lunar material. Now, here comes Buzz loping out again, bounding across, let's see, out of view to the
Buzz, this
northeast.
Is Houston. You have approximately 3 minutes until you must commence your EVA termination activities. Over.
That instruction to Buzz while he's getting a second core sample. He's going...
Columbia, this is Houston. Approximately 1 minute to LOS. Over.
1 minute. Buzz is going considerably farther away from the spacecraft for the second sample. And that call to Columbia, to Mike Collins, and...
And do you plan on commencing your sweep on the backside this pass? If so, we'll disable uplink to you while we're talking to the LEM. Over.
If Mike says yes, I wouldn't believe it. He said yes. He said negative. He's going to stay up and watch and listen.
Houston, were you able to record in a documentary way where the two samples were taken?
Negative.
Now, I didn't get a stereo pair of those groups, but they're right in the vicinity of the solar wind.
The first one was in the vicinity of the solar wind detector.
Neil, this is Houston. After you've got the core tubes and the solar wind, anything else that you can throw into the box would be acceptable.
I don't.
Beginning the countdown here on Buzz, he must begin to terminate the EVA. In order, he must go back inside and help bring all of this material back in.
Sorry. I got the cap.
Got the cap?
They're both good caps on
around. Okay. Got the cap. This is a cap.
If you want to pick up some stuff, and I'll
get these aseptic ones.
Throw the solar wind in.
Buzz is going to bring in the solar wind experiment now, which has been basking in the strong sunlight up to now. There, he's taking it from the ground.
Buzz Aldrin retrieving the solar wind experiment.
It rolls up very much like a window shade. It's rolling up easily. It's spring-loaded. I thought it was rolling up easily. Tends to be flapping a bit there. It does take some doing to make this thing roll up, I've discovered in playing with one of them here on Earth. This will be folded, when it's rolled up, the roll will be stored in one of the sample return containers, the rock boxes, with the two core samples, tubes with caps on them.
Buzz, this is Houston. It's about time for you to start your EVA closeout activities.
Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong working, gathering material on the surface of the moon.
They've been on their life support system. On their life support systems, 2 hours and 25 minutes.
That's Mission Control here in Houston. You're listening to the astronauts from the moon through Mission Control in Houston. This broadcast coming to you from the Voice of America. Buzz must now begin to go through his termination proceedings to end the EVA. Armstrong is on the west
Neil
side of our picture.
Neil appears to be picking up rocks to the right of the screen.
He's picking up rocks. Yes, it's very difficult to lean over. He bends his knees as much as he can. He cannot bend his torso at all. Moved off the screen, out of view now. Aldrin can be observed at the mesa.
Neil and Buzz, this is Houston. I'd like to remind you of the close-up camera magazine before you start up the ladder, Buzz.
Okay.
The close-up camera.
Over with you, Neil.
Now that close-up camera is underneath the mesa. I'll have to pick it up with the
close-up camera.
I'm picking up several pieces of really vesicular rock out here now.
He's picking up some pieces of vesicular rock, rock that appears to have vesicles in it.
You didn't get anything in those environmental samples, did you?
Not yet.
No, I don't think we'll have time.
Buzz is back at the mesa, helping to close up
everything. Roger, Neil and Buzz. Let's press on with getting the close-up camera magazine and closing out of the sample return container. You're running a little low on time.
Roger.
Neil is continuing to pick up samples. He has to use this tong or a
scoop.
We want
to keep a good margin in those portable life support systems.
The reason for hurrying them at this point is to maintain that margin so that they have plenty of oxygen left. They don't want to press that limit too closely. These are rechargeable, but you have to go back inside the spacecraft to charge them up again. Neil doing his best to get down in this stiff suit to the surface.
Okay,
to
can you quickly
pick up material.
Stick this in my pocket, Neil, and I'll head on up the ladder.
He's asking Neil to stick something in his pocket. It's probably the film cartridge from the... From the detail camera that's used to photograph items, objects right on the surface. The close-up camera. Camera that some people have called the gold camera for Dr. Gold devised it.
Just hold it right there. Okay, let the pocket go.
Back closed.
Neil is helping Buzz stow this in his pocket.
Adios, amigos.
Hey.
Here he's going to jump
anything
up on the ladder.
Before I head on up, Bruce?
Negative. Head on up the ladder, Buzz.
That must be Bruce McCandless as the capsule communicator. We just heard
that white dot right above the horizon on the right is a phosphorus spot from the TV converter in the Park Station in Australia.
Buzz is now up on the porch, up on the platform. He's in the shadow.
And
he will.
Okay.
Buzz is preparing to go back inside the lunar module, back inside the Eagle. He partially closed the hatch when he came out. That static is undoubtedly the end.
Solar wind roll up there? Right, that's it right there. Okay.
That static is undoubtedly the antenna of Buzz Aldrin as it scrapes across some of the surface on the outside of the lunar module. What they're doing at this point is passing up on this clothesline or transfer lead some of the boxes and containers. It looks like Buzz is up on the porch operating the gadget from the top side. Neil is down below passing up the material. This device to aid them in getting the material.
Okay, I'm heading on in. Okay. And I'll get the LEC already.
Buzz says he's heading on in. Now he's disappearing into the interior of the lunar module.
This is the Voice of America broadcasting worldwide with coverage of the lunar landing of Apollo 11. Two men on the moon. This broadcast will continue on many of these same frequencies.
But
Buzz, approximately 20 minutes less than that.
Neil, this is Houston. Did the Hasselblad magazine go up on that sample return container also?
Sample return container also.
Buzz Aldrin is now...
I've got the Hasselblad magazine hooked to the SRC now, yeah.
Roger.
Buzz Aldrin has now climbed inside the lunar module. Neil Armstrong is outside, beginning to pass up all of the materials, all of the camera cartridges, the rock boxes, with their material inside, and a reminder from the Earth, did you remember this? Did you remember that? Did you get all of the materials that are to be brought back to Earth? Time is closing in on the two astronauts because they must remain on these portable life support systems as long as the lunar module is depressurized there, or until they switch to the hoses inside. Buzz Aldrin has gone inside.
Okay.
Neil Armstrong still outside, and he will be the cleanup man to pass in all of the remaining items. On the surface of the moon is on a staff right into the right center of our TV picture. We can see the American flag. The sun coming from the east, shining on what appears to be the left side of the lunar module as we look at it. That scratchy signal, to the best of our knowledge,
is
called
the LEC. Yeah, just about.
The LEC is this clothesline device, this pulley device, rope and pulley, by which material is passed up into the lunar module.